Today's first scripture is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, and all their faithfulness is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on the high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the town of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's been a few years now since you moved up here to beautiful Oregon and got to know the Pacific Northwest. And when Pastor Kelly came up, she became connected with my family's home church, Lake Grove Presbyterian. That's how I first got to know you and got to see your work in ministry. While I was still working as an interim pastor, kind of bouncing around from church to church, she was part of my home congregation, my family's home congregation, and helping to minister there. She then moved on and began working in our presbytery and has been a supply pastor, kind of going around and doing pulpit supply all over. And I have just thoroughly enjoyed her messages, her teaching, her approach to the Word of God, and that's part of the reason why we reached out and said, hey, would you come and share the Word of God with us here at HPC? And so we're so thankful. Thank you so much for coming. You've been a wonderful colleague, and you're becoming a dear friend, and we're just so blessed to have you here with us this morning. So let's just take a moment again in prayer. I know John's already prayed for us, but Lord, thank you so much for this chance to be able to come and to gather and to hear your Word, and sometimes we need to hear your Word from different voices, and we're thankful that you continue to speak to us, and we pray that your Spirit will speak through Kelly this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, my friend.
Well, good morning. Thank you.
I've had a few mishaps with having a mic permanently on, and then I sing, and everybody hears my singing, and nobody wants to hear my singing, so I'm really grateful that I get to have control of my mic, so you don't have to have that happen here, but good morning, Hillsborough Presbyterian Church. It is a delight to be here with you today, and especially on this second Sunday of Advent, the day that we light the peace candle, and as we do so, we acknowledge that the God of peace is the one who is breaking through, bringing the shalom, the peace. Shalom meaning fullness, wholeness, completeness of God in the form of this little baby in human skin. So we are so grateful to be celebrating this second Advent of peace, the second Sunday. Peace is a word that is not necessarily a word I would use to describe my household right now. Now, I don't know about you, but that longing for peace sounds so very appealing and so wonderful, and peace and quiet is something that I think I ache for right now. Now, just to give you a little sense, a little wondering about who I am, a window into my life, I have a 6-year-old daughter who literally does not stop talking. She wakes up in the morning speaking. So we'll go in and wake her up, and she pops up and starts talking immediately and does not stop speaking until she fades off to sleep. So we hear her, even after we've put her to bed, we hear her rattling away, talking to herself in her bedroom. My 11-year-old daughter, on the other hand, is an introvert, so she waits until the 6-year-old goes to school and gets on the bus, and her most important time to speak to me is in that space between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. when I'm desperate to get some work done. There are some timeline things I have to do with the presbytery, and that's the time she wants to talk to me, so that little window. And then I have a 14-year-old son who now stays awake later than I do. And I don't know if you have ever had teenagers. There is this thing that happens where they won't talk to you the whole day until it's time for bed. And I am so tired, so every night that I go in to say goodnight to him, that's when he's ready to bear his soul to me. So Advent peace is something that I so love and so enjoy and am so grateful that we can pause today and just acknowledge that our God is a God of peace in a deep and meaningful way, so much more than noise, but a God who settles and brings wholeness and healing and completeness. Now, I don't know if you find yourself longing for peace this season or maybe every season like I do. Maybe your home is quieter than you would prefer it to be. Maybe there are conversations that you wish you could still have in your home. Maybe there are voices that you miss or conversations that you wish you could continue to have, but those conversations are no longer possible. But that aching desire that we all have, that all is not yet as it should be, keeps you waiting, keeps me waiting, keeps us waiting for peace. Advent is a season marked by waiting. And you are in a sermon series, I have been told, called Adventually, Stories of Waiting for God's Perfect Timing. Last week, Brian shared the story of Abraham and Sarah and shared a little bit about how they waited for what seemed like an eternity for the birth of their son Isaac. And when Isaac finally was given to them, they were really old. Thank you for emphasizing that so much. I was watching. Really old, really, really old. I loved that Brian emphasized that. And then you also heard about Zechariah and Elizabeth, who we'll talk a little bit more about today, but from a different perspective. Another couple who longed and waited and waited and waited for the child that they thought that they were going to have. And when biology and logic proved otherwise, that's when God stepped in. That is when God's perfect timing for them provided a son. In both of the stories, the timing just didn't make a whole lot of sense. And that's just it. God's perfect timing doesn't always feel perfect to us. And I would venture a guess to say it usually doesn't feel perfect to us. Well, today we are going to explore the story of two women who were both entrusted with some pretty big news. And that big news came at what felt like very odd timing. Similar to the stories of last week, I cannot help but wonder, yet again, over God's timing in these two women's lives. Mary, a poor, young, unmarried virgin, not only pregnant, but pregnant with the most important being in the history of the world. And Elizabeth, who you got some background on last week, cousin to said virgin, a childless, elderly woman, old, so old, now pregnant with the prophet who was to prepare the way for the Messiah. The one that God said, "This is my perfect timing." It doesn't make any sense to you. It doesn't make any sense to science or biology, but this right here, This is my perfect timing. So today, with these two women, I want to explore God's perfect timing in weaving these two women's lives together for such a time as this. So we're going to read the scripture passage. I think it'll be up on the screens. I will read it aloud. If you do better just quietly listening to the words of scripture, close your eyes and receive God's word as a gift today. And pay attention as you listen to any words or phrases that resonate with you. I think you have a Lectio Divina series that you've been going through, which I love that I saw that. So pay attention to the words of scripture as you hear God's word read to you. Luke 1:26 through 45. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, indeed. Well, there is a popular book that expectant mothers read during the months leading up to birth called What to Expect When You're Expecting. There's lots of new versions, but I loved that cover. That was such a fun cover. And it gives every detail that you would ever want to know, and more than you would want to know, of what happens in a mother's body and in a baby's body with each month of gestation. Now, I haven't read the book in years, but I am fairly confident that those opening pages of the book would confirm that virgins and postmenopausal women should not expect to be expecting. Just a guess. That is not only a logical conclusion, but it is a scientific conclusion. So it would make a whole lot of sense that this news took these women by a whole lot of surprise, and it might have taken them a bit of time to get used to it. When I was in When I was pregnant with my third child, I had just turned 36 when I found out that I was pregnant, and my doctor sat me down and told me that I was having a geriatric pregnancy. I'm sorry, what? 36. Now, I am fairly certain that if 36 is considered a geriatric pregnancy, then Elizabeth was certainly well past that stage. She really was too old. And Mary really was a pregnant virgin. Not what you expect when you are expecting. So why was this God's perfect timing? I don't know that we will ever be able to answer that question this side of heaven. But our passage does open with a detail, and then it repeats it again that gives us a bit of the answer and also reveals the kindness of God toward these two women amidst this odd timing. In verse 26, we are told, and then again in 36, we're told that this big reveal takes place in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. All right. So he asked me to come from a woman's perspective. So here is a little bit of what that means. What does the sixth month of pregnancy? So at 6 months, Elizabeth's baby, according to babycenter.com, would have been as long as an ear of corn. So about that. Or about the size of a rutabaga. That's what it says. I'm just telling you. I'm repeating what I saw. So quick Google search informed me that at 26 weeks of pregnancy, babies exhibit this whole range of normal baby behavior. They can do things like have moods. They can scratch, smile, cry, hiccup, and suck. Now, why am I bringing all of these details up? Well, they matter. And I believe that the author Luke, a doctor, intentionally added these details in because the specific timing was important. So why was the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy perfect timing to prepare Mary, Elizabeth, and their community for what was to come? Well, let's start with their community. Anyone who questioned Zechariah or Elizabeth, wondering if they really were expecting, could clearly see from the growing bump that these two were not crazy and they did not make up this story, right? And because she was so far past her childbearing years, her community would have to conclude that that pregnancy was an act of God. Amen. That growing bump was evidence that an absolute miracle was taking place and that that miracle was preparing the way for an even greater miracle. What verse 25, what you talked about last week, shares, though, is that Elizabeth had remained in seclusion for 5 months. So the community is just now experiencing for the very first time the evidence of her miraculous pregnancy. 5 months she was in seclusion, and here we are, and it's time for Jesus to come. What? Now, Elizabeth, why was this perfect timing for her? A mother typically feels her baby's kicks, or as doctors often call it, flutters, between weeks 18 and 22. But by the time a baby is 26 weeks old, almost every single pregnant mother can feel her baby moving around and kicking. A woman is in her 6th month of pregnancy between the weeks of 23 and 27, which means this would have been the very first time that she would have been able to feel that baby kick, right when Mary was about to show up. Is that interesting? I don't really think so. I don't think that was ironic. So right as Elizabeth was just able to feel those kicks is when Mary arrives on the scene, and in the silence of her own womb, without words, that baby John communicated the good news of the coming Messiah to an audience of one, Elizabeth. John the Baptist was even a prophet in utero, and his first witness was his own mother. And because Mary was likely not showing at all her own baby bump yet, this internal proclamation became very important. The leap of a baby in his 6th month of gestation confirmed for Elizabeth that her Messiah was indeed coming and that her son was most certainly going to be the prophet of the Most High God. And Elizabeth was the first person to call Jesus, her Messiah, her Lord. Blessed am I that my Lord, first person, a woman is the first person to call Jesus Lord. How exciting. And what about Mary? Why was this timing important for Mary? I cannot possibly climb in to the mind of Mary, nor can I begin to imagine how terrified and honored and nervous and joyful she must have felt all at the same time. But I have to believe that hers was a secret that was lonely and challenging to hold all by herself. So in God's perfect timing, when that baby was finally big enough to kick, Mary arrived at Elizabeth's, the baby leapt for joy, Elizabeth received the truth that the Messiah was coming, and Mary wasn't alone on this journey anymore. And because it was likely still so fresh, and maybe even still a bit unbelievable to Mary, I find it such a grace that God allowed her the gift of yet another confirmation from another person who she knew and trusted. Isn't that beautiful? I have found this picture, you can put it up, that I love, and actually I showed it to Brian. He said, oh my goodness, I think I put that up last year. He did put it up last year. So this might not be new to you, but I found this and I thought, what a beautiful picture of what that moment for these two women. I love that God provided Elizabeth for Mary so that they could compare stories. As we all know, every transition in life is helpful if it can be shared with another person. Another person who has walked that road just ahead of you. This is why we have mentors. This is why we have spiritual directors. This is why we have dear friends who we walk with through life. I believe God shows up in those people for us. God knew Mary might have some questions or concerns, and she certainly didn't have the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. And I'm fairly certain that she probably couldn't ask the women in her own community the questions of what she should be expecting while she's expecting, because they would have seen her as shameful. They didn't believe her story. So she couldn't trust any of those women with the things that were going on inside of her. So how good that God provided Elizabeth, who would go before her and could answer her questions and companion her along the way. What grace. What goodness. God gives us community as a reminder that we're not alone. I wonder what it would have been like if that baby had not been big enough to jump in her belly, or at least to be felt, or if the baby had already been born. God's timing was perfect. Both of these women were expecting, and yet neither one of them was expecting to be expecting. There was no reason for either of them to imagine a pregnancy in their near future. Elizabeth's journey was one of waiting, and Mary's journey was one of trust. Life is full of unexpected events. We all know this, right? This past weekend, just exactly a week ago, and a day, my family was traveling to California for a family wedding that I was officiating. My niece was getting married, and my kids were so excited to miss 2 days of school and to see their cousins, and we were all excited to get a little bit of California sun while it atmospheric rained here, which it's still doing, so we returned to it. But unfortunately, 2 hours before the wedding ceremony, my six-year-old daughter started throwing up. So it was my husband's family, but I was the officiant. So we made this decision that I would officiate, then I would drive back to our Airbnb, switch with him, he would go to the reception and get to spend some time with his family. As a result of that, then, because that happened, we were supposed to stay at a family member's house the following night, which was right by the airport. Our flight left really, but well, it was still dark outside. And that family member said, I'm so sorry, please don't come, which we absolutely understood, but also, oh no, we have to find a place to stay for 5 people the day of. So we called a bunch of hotel rooms. There was no room in the inn, people. There was no room in the inn for us. So I reached out to my old small group from the church that I had worked at in California, and I said, anybody know of a mother-in-law unit or a place where a vacant home or anything that we can come and stay. And my dear friend said, I have an RV parked in my driveway. You won't cross paths with anyone. You're welcome to stay there. Only problem is there's no heater. Great. So we stayed there. It was wonderful and cold, and made our way back home. And we were exhausted and so thankful for our beds when we returned. That's life. Unexpected things happen. Things don't go according to plan. Our best laid plans just usually just don't happen the way that we plan them to. I imagine that we could all, without a whole lot of effort, name countless times in our lives when unexpected things happen. We didn't get the job that we expected we would be offered. We didn't expect to be laid off. We didn't expect to still be single. Or we didn't expect to be single again. We didn't expect marriage to be so hard. We didn't expect to have that miscarriage. We didn't expect that diagnosis or that test result. We didn't expect that fire, that flood, that earthquake. We didn't expect a global pandemic and 2+ years of social distancing. We didn't expect the loss of that loved one, especially so soon. We didn't expect life to be so. We can all fill in the blanks, right? We all have them. The story between Mary and Elizabeth offers us some hope and insight for those moments in life when the unexpected happens. God's timing won't always make sense, and it won't always be easy, but God is with us. Again and again this season, we say, Emmanuel, God is with us. Sometimes God's presence comes in the form of a companion to walk with. And sometimes when we're alone or afraid, we can partner up with somebody and say, did you feel this way too? Sometimes God's presence comes in the form of a deep inner assurance that is so clear it almost feels like a baby leaping inside of you. Just like God did with Elizabeth and Mary, God provides what we need when we need it. Like Elizabeth, we might find ourselves wondering if God's timing's too late. Or like Mary, we might wonder if we're even ready for what's ahead. But we can be sure God's timing is perfect and we are not alone. I want to close with a poem that Methodist minister Jan Richardson, if you've ever read her poetry or her works, they're beautiful. And it's from this book called The Book of Blessings for the Seasons, Circle of Grace. So this goes through all of the holy seasons. So she has a section on Advent, which I'll read to you today. She unexpectedly lost her new husband in a very routine surgery. And so all of her writing comes from a place of understanding grief and yet God's presence in the midst of that grief. So I'm just going to close with reading you. It's called The Blessing for Waiting. Who wait for the night to end, bless them. Who wait for the night to begin, bless them. Who wait in the hospital room, who wait in the cell, who wait in prayer, bless them. Who wait for news, who wait for the phone call, who wait for a word, who wait for a job, a house, a child, bless them. Who wait for one who will come home, who wait for one who won't come home, bless them. Who wait with fear, who wait with joy, who wait with peace, who wait with rage, who wait for the end, who wait for the beginning, who wait alone, who wait together, bless them. Who wait without knowing what they wait for or why, bless them. Who wait when they should not wait, who wait when they should be in motion, who wait when they need to rise, who wait when they need to set out, bless them. Who wait for the end of waiting, who wait for the fullness of time, who wait emptied and open and ready, who wait for you, oh bless. The you we wait for is Jesus. May it be so. Let me close us in prayer. Holy One, we are so anxiously expecting your arrival. Help us when we face the unexpected. Quiet us in the waiting.